great topic, the four cornerstones of success. And because really, I like lists. I like knowing, okay, so what's the expectation? What works? What doesn't? I mean, that's the whole beauty of a system. It's you look at it like a franchise. A franchise get a couple key things and on how to and what work and they don't do what doesn't work, and the other businesses do what doesn't work and they don't make it. And really, we say it all the time, right? There's like four ways to win, and like 4 billion ways to screw it up. And let's not talk about. I mean, I guess engaging in dialogue on how to screw it up. I don't know. Just don't do the four things, and you can kind of figure it out on your own. It's neat. It's open to interpretation. But winning is not open to interpretation. Losing is. Meaning, like, you can't be creative and win. You got to kind of just follow the four keys. And really, that's what the four cornerstones are. And you guys said this is gonna be up on the website, right? We're gonna
absolutely.
It should be up after this.
Yeah,
call.
Guys. This is think about this call today is really probably one of the most important calls that we can have as a company, because it really does kind of lay out for everyone the platform that we're going to operate on as a company. And these four things, we've called it the four cornerstones of success with SFG. Get used to hearing that. Get really used to hearing that, because, again, like Ed said, we're big on making sure that our kind of name and our company is built on a system that works. And I love, Ed, the four, like the number. It's having a number on something. Just easy, because you can kind of check, grade yourself based on this thing. You know, how well am I doing based on how well I'm executing these four cornerstones? And if you're missing it on one, bad news. Like, got to get all four of them. It's just not just about doing one or two of them. All four of them. And we're definitely going to have it on the website, right up front. Easy to find.
Yeah, it's a simple business. It's not easy. It's really simple, and I think with these, when I'm on the website and really print these out and just become a student of this. I think if we need something to focus on to really help us, this is going to be the list. So let's really dive into them and talk about the four cornerstones of success. And I would, just like every conference call, guys, if you don't write this stuff down or record it, and I know we record a lot of conference calls, but just to be safe, just record it yourself and write this stuff down, because if you don't, it'll fly away. I mean, this is important stuff it's kind of like, I wonder what we're all doing right now, and I hope that we're all kind of sitting in a quiet space and focused 100%, got pen, got paper, recorder, and just soaking it in and listening to it over and over again, because this is a distillation of, man, collective, how many years we've all been, probably 80, 100, you had Brian in there, right? It's
Yep.
What do you think, about 100 years of our lessons boiled mm-hmm. down to a one page, fundamentals. That's what it is. So let's start.
And a lot of this stuff too is really, again, you kind of look at the group as a whole, and you pick out the top guys in the company. Everybody that gets a great result, and when I say result, I mean our scoreboard is really paychecks in our system. It's who's getting the checks. And the guys that get a lot of checks with commas in them do these four things, and a lot of them are just kind of intangible. It's kind of intangible stuff. It's not necessarily tangible things that you can see. So, but these are the difference makers. These are the things that separate you from the pack with our company and in business. Period. I think.
I mean, it really is. This is stuff that we live by. So let's start with number one. Guys, which is belief in what you're selling, believe in what you're selling. And you can't out-earn your belief level. You really can't. You can't outsell your own belief. That's like we talk about, like building, you can't out-earn your self-image. You can't outsell your own belief level. And we all have different belief levels, and there's one way to set your belief. It's kind of like a thermostat. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of the managers in my deal, leaders, and talking about one of his guys. He's like, man, this guy, every one of his deals is under $45. Every one of them. Like, he's written 10 apps. Dude, hey, writing good app count. Keep going, man. We're proud of you. Just like, every deal is $45. And he's like, how could that be? And then he traced it back to a conversation I had about a month ago when this guy, I think it was a conference, this guy says, man, that $80 average sale you guys talk about, That's expensive, man. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, man. That's expensive. It shouldn't be more than $50 a month. So guess what? He believes it. Like we all hear this, like that there is no reality. It's just perceived reality. It's only perception. And like, but here's the other side of that is that we control our perception. We determine our perception. And this whole game we play and working on ourselves is kind of tricking ourselves to believe we're successful. And we might have to actually believe it long enough, and it becomes our reality. And that's the way it is with selling. So, like, if I think $50 a month or $80 a month is way too much, then I'm going to project that $50 on everybody. And guess what? Everybody else sells $50. Now, if I think that $50 is way too inexpensive for your family because your family's worth a lot more than $50 a month, they're probably protecting them is worth about $250 a month, then that's going to be my target. I'm going to hit that mark every time. It's crazy how it's just a belief, and whatever you believe, you project. So what's the best way to determine and set my belief level is become that customer. It's kind of crazy. Like years ago, we had an agent, a couple agents, but I'll tell you this, guys. All the top earners, I don't think, like Brandon, you got a couple. How many policies have you sold in your household to yourself and your family?
I was looking at this the other day. Meredith and I were talking about it. I've got five on me. I've got five on me. Meredith has one. Both of the kids have one. Of course, I've got one on my mom, my dad, my mother-in-law, my brother, or my not my brother-in-law, but my sister, my sister-in-law. I mean, literally, everybody that I could get one on that needs help, they've got one. It was because I wasn't afraid. I wasn't embarrassed to ask the people closest to me if they needed help, right? It's like I think so many times, Ed, people are afraid of being needle-nosed Ned Ryerson from Groundhog's Day that they don't want to ask people about, if they need the coverage, if they need their help. They don't want to be that person that's avoided at family reunions, and it's crazy that we'll go out and we'll call leads and we'll go out and we'll pour into somebody that we don't know from Adam, right? And we'll show them all the options, we'll give them everything, yet we want help the people closest to us.
Belief, man. Yep. I mean, I find the biggest premiums, like we had a guy who wrote a $30,000 EIUL on himself, and about 6 months later picked up a 20-something thousand EIUL on a lead. And he held the record for the agency for the biggest sale ever. And, like, I'm like, how was it? And this is a guy that's not that active. So, like, I'm saying, how has it happened that a guy that's a lot less active, a lot less activity, kind of a part-timer, goes out and breaks the record? And we got people out there that are 10 times busier than he is. They can't come close to it because he did it for himself. He believes it. He sold out. Like, you can't close. If you can't close yourself, you can't close others. Okay? So the first thing is you got to set the belief level. I mean, you've got five policies. I got five. Casey, you probably got five policies, right?
Yep, at least.
I know Don Kibbe's got, like, five or six, right? The Pietravalles have three or four, five. Jack Hahn's got several. Like, it's not – this isn't like a – we say this because we need leads, a premium. Like, you set your belief, and the more you believe, the stronger you close yourself, the more passionate you are. That becomes your set point. So let me get, like, an objection and be like, well, like, you have five policies, Brandon. How many houses do you go into where they say, well, I already got life insurance, or I already got this? Like you already had life insurance four times ago. Then you had three times ago. Like, you had it.
Yep.
So every time that came up to you, you're like, yeah, me too. Let me tell you why. And, like, you believe, okay, that makes sense. You close yourself. But if let's say I'm stuck on that objection. Now, I'm not going to take a policy on myself because I already got life insurance. Got 3 years ago, physical, cheap. Okay, great. You got mortgage protection now, but I got life insurance. So you believe that you don't need it because you got a little life policy. And every time that pops up in the house, you're going to lose. So how much does that, let's say, $100 a month, you're not spending to protect your family that you really need? We all... It's kind of like this, like, how much money, ask yourself this question, like, my family, if they can get another $250,000, should they, like, how much money do they need when I'm gone? Is there a limit? Like, nah, they don't need another $250,000, really. Really, they don't need, you'd rather have them actually live on less or get less when you're gone. Really, they don't need it. Huh, really. So, it makes no sense, but if you believe that nonsense and you haven't closed yourself, every time it pops up in a home, look, every time it pops up, you're going to be like, yeah, you're right. You got a point there, Bob. You do have some. I know you sent it in. You want to look at the mortgage, but you want to use your life insurance. Yeah, you won't have any left to protect your income, but, yeah, I kind of the same way in my house. Like, it's not organic, and people smell a phony a mile away. Like this whole game is authenticity. Like, how do you get good in the field? You follow the system, and you believe like crazy. How do you believe? Cover your family. Be your best client. You get commission on it. It's a great deal because you're getting a competitive product anyway, and you're getting commission on it, which is reducing the cost of the competitive product. Like, and you show it to your clients. Let me tell you what your policy is going to look like when I deliver it. Let me show you on me. Like, you don't think that so, like, you're having a chargeback problem. Have you sold yourself a policy? No. That's why you have a chargeback problem. How about selling yourself a policy, and then before you leave the house, showing your policy. Now, let me tell you about let me show you my family's mortgage protection. It's going to look just like yours. Here it is. You got my wife and daughter, beneficiary, just like yours. See, that's how it's going to look when I deliver your policy. It'll look just like this. You think they're going to cancel? Like again, it's like, what's the cost of the $100 policy a month that you don't have? We can go on all day long, but what's another? I can't afford it. Okay, so you say you can't afford your policy. How are you going to respond every time they tell you they can't afford it? I mean, this is simple. There's no, like, magic, like, nah, that's not important. What's important is the script. No. What's primary important, that's why it's number one, is you got to believe in this thing, man. You got to believe in what we're doing for clients. You got to believe in it so much you back it up with your own money.
And Ed, that's the reason why it is number one, is we feel like that. These are in order, by the way. And that really all starts with that. And, you know, belief in it, belief in what we're selling is the principle, but the you covering yourself is the manifestation. And if you think that we're just talking about this because we want the production and this is kind of like part of our system, how we get volume, it's not about that. It's about the belief. And if you think it's because that we're just a company that just this is our system and this is how we drive our production, then that's probably what you're going to get. That's what you're going to think, and you're not going to trust us, and we're nobody's going to move anywhere. So, but just understand, put it on as earned. We don't care. The commission's not the thing. It's the belief in it. And, again, the manifestation for us is who has policies on themselves. And I see who's on our leaderboards every week, Ed, and then we know who's got coverage on themselves, and it just kind of – those two lists match up together. And some of you guys are going, well, I want to make sure it works first, so I'm going to get your leads, and I'm going to take your resources. And if you work, then we'll work, guys. This is a marriage. Like, we expect commitment on both sides. Okay, you commit and we commit, and we'll kind of run together like that. We can't, and so there's a certain amount of faith there that just pull the trigger out. Watch what it does for your business. I always have my policies with me. At least one policy with me in my bag, and that was nothing better than pulling that thing out. This is what I did for my family. This is what I think you should do for yours. People like you a lot more when you have some credibility and you have some genuineness to you in the home. That goes a long way, a very long way, and, man, it makes you a lot more sales because it makes you more likable, and when you're more likable, people trust you, and when people trust you, they buy from you.
It's organic and it's real and it's there's no substitute. Like, it's, what else do we hear? Well, when I start making some money, I'll buy myself. No, it doesn't work. It's like chicken. You need the belief to make the money. No, when I make the money, I'll believe. No, you won't make the money unless you have belief. We can go like round and round, but like, why argue? Like, why not just accept? Like, I don't know what you're thinking out there, but how about this? Like, doesn't matter what you're thinking because your thought process is maybe got you where you are, definitely got you where you are, and you want to be in a different spot. How about just saying, what if they're right? What if, like, yeah, I think $50 a month is a lot of money, but what if they're right? Like, what if, yeah, and everything changes for you? Because you can't keep operating on the same thought process and get a different result. So if this makes sense to you, you're probably already on the way to winning. If it doesn't, you need to do it to start winning. It's just one of those things. Number two, work in council. We talk about the MACC, massive action, constant correction. So now you believe, you're fired up, but now you got to actually get in gear. You got to put the car in gear. You all got the engine revving. You're fired up. You believe. Now you got to actually move. Because there are people out there that believe. You look at MLM, the network. They're crazy about the juice or the soap or the travel plan or get your electricity through Billy Bob instead of your main care. They're fired up. They love that, man. Honey, we're gonna be rich, man. I'm gonna forget paying Florida Power and Light. We're gonna pay Joe. He's gonna hook it up. He got an like, I got you. Okay. Yep. Fired up, and they do nothing about it. So you, now you're fired up and you believe, but you got to work. Okay, and work really the work part of our main work is the phone. I mean, I don't know about you guys in Carolina, but down here in South Florida, it seems like the capital of telemarketing rooms and campaigns. These people, they'll sit there on the phone and they'll dial 1,000, 2,000 times a week, and they'll make like $8 an hour, $12 an hour, and they're just fired up for that opportunity because they go in and they're guaranteed their $8 an hour plus commission. They're not much commission, but if they can average $10 an hour, they'll sit on the phone for a full day for $80. They'll dial the phone 300 times for $80, and they're like, it's good money, man. Like, really? Yeah, man, I just $400. We have guys that, like, they can't afford licensing because they're waiting for their payment from their phone room they're working in. It's like, man, I get that $400. I'm like, okay, so what are you making per dial? I love looking at that. I mean, we know that we cash flow on average $200 per prime time appointment, and we'll say, we'll be real conservative and say you're working – you're a B-lead bandito or an A-lead astronaut. We got to come with an A-lead something.
Mm-hmm. A-lead astronaut, I like that.
So you're one of them, and it takes like 3 dials to set an A-lead appointment. It takes like 30 to set a B. Pick one in the middle. Let's say it takes 15 dials to set an appointment, and you make $200. So like $200 divided by 15, I don't know, was it like $13 maybe? My calculator.
Yep.
Is that like $13? $200 divided by 15? Yeah, $13. Guys, we make $13 on average every phone number we dial, $13. So, like, if you're sitting there in a phone bank and you're dialing 300, I think dial more than that, but 300, 400 a day, okay, they're fired up to make 80. If we dial 400 a day, we make 5,000. You guys got to get the math because that's what it is. We only work, like, for the most part, most of us from 8 to noon, it's 4 hours. You know, we knock out our 200 dials in about 4 hours, and we probably dial 150 in a phone team, maybe another 50 to 100 after hours. Guys,
yep.
This is, in my opinion, this is the only work part of the business because the field doesn't work. You're eating and you're getting neat gadgets from the house and putting them on the wall of shame and, right, your fame, right? That's the easy. That's not work. But the phone is work, and it's what, 6 hours, 7 hours a week? You got to put the dials, and we treat it like we're actually working hard. When I'm telling you, go work in a phone bank for $80 a day.
Mm-hmm.
They're there all day. We'll drop you off in the DR in our phone team, right? You work with them. They're all fired up too, aren't they? Why aren't we as excited as Chang is, the guy that runs about that? He loves the. They love that. They love the phone, man. So, guys, that's the work part. It's not a big deal. Let's just pick up the phone, make our 200, 300 dials, enough dials to set 12 to 15 in prime time. That's going to yield us 5K, 5 grand in production, going to cash flow you 2 grand. So you put the work in, you dial the calls, dial as many as you need to, depending on the lead type. You make more money. I was always a big thing, like I don't want to dial all on just leads. I want to build a business so I get A leads so I can free myself up to dial resumes more and build a business.
Yep.
If your passion's about, hey, man, I want to go kill, I want to be a B-lead bandito, well, whatever, dial 400 or 500 times, be a bandito, get you a bandana, get you a little pony. I mean, it just whatever, just dial the phone. Dial the phone, dial. Get your 12 to 15 appointments, cover the families. Like, here's the thing, though. Make sure you're counseling, because working, we talked about a formula a couple weeks ago, like, MA plus CC equals results. So massive action multiplied by a constant correction is going to equal like a performance metric, your results. So if you're working hard but you're not counseling, I was talking to some people last week or earlier this week actually, and they're like, man, I spoke to 45 people, and I was asking for statistics because numbers don't lie, stories do. So like, what's the number? Like, I talked to 45 leads, 45 people, and I said 3. I'm like, wait a second, back up. You talked to 45 people on leads, and you set 3? That's crazy. You should have set 15. You, 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4. You set 3. And then the next question, I said, how often did you pull in your mentor? Did you pull him in every 4 conversations? At the end of the day. I'm like, no. that's the problem. The problem is, guys, we got to take responsibility. We're getting down to number four, but we'll get there in a second. It's 100% responsibility. It's not the lead's fault. It's not the market. It's not my manager. It's not my downline, my upline, sideline. It's me. It's the person in the mirror. So, like, I got to take responsibility. If I dial the phone 45, if I've talked to 45 people, dialed 300 times, spoke to 45 people, and I set three, and I did not reach out to my mentor after five no goods, right, after five refusals, if I didn't reach up and say, man, Casey, what am I doing wrong, dude? And he's like, you're saying that's what you're doing wrong. Say, oh, it's foolish. We have to take 100% responsibility. So it's how often are you counseling? That's the key, and you should be counseling every five people. It really depends. Here's the thing: the more you counsel, each counseling session is a growth cycle. So the more I pull in Brandon, if I pull Brandon in every two phone calls or two people I talk to, and you pull him in every 20, I'm gonna get better 10 times faster than you are, because he's gonna tell me. And I asked this. I said, well, so now that it's an autopsy, you know, like Casey, it's about the biopsy, not the. We don't want to die.
Yep.
So like autopsy, it's too late. Like, we could talk about what you did, but it's the week is gone. You're dead, right? Biopsy is, well, before it kills you, let's look at what's going on. So we take we look at it and say, okay, I biopsied, and like what's happening? Well, how are they shutting you down? Well, they're telling me that they already took care of it. What are you saying? I'm saying, well, would you buy? And how much is it a month? Okay, not. Nah, how's that working out for you? Well, obviously really bad, because you only set three on 45. So here's what I'd say instead of that. I would say, that's why I'm calling. Plans have changed. You might qualify for the new program. It's less money, got more benefit. What's the best way to get to your house if I'm coming down, you know, Highway 75? See, try that. And they go, I tried it. It works. I know it works. Okay, I got it. I know it works. You pull me in earlier. Like it's crazy. It's like, why would you not counsel really? Like, we got your back. Don't waste your time. Don't wait till your week is dead. Because here's the problem. How many bad weeks do you have in you? Getting on to the next thing is self-development. If you're not developed enough, you can only handle a few bad a bad day. Like if I'm not developed enough, I have too much quit in me. I haven't flushed enough quit out of me that when I lose, I'm going to quit earlier. And my concern, my fear is how close is quit to you? Like, is it a bad day? Is it a bad week? Is it a bad 2 weeks? And I don't want you to quit and fail. Okay, so let's not even take the chance and not go there. Does that make sense, Casey?
That makes perfect sense, man.
So in the constant correction, that's why the first C is constant. It's not like massive action and correction occasionally, mock. It's massive action and constant. It's like all the time. I want you to call me from every house. I have one of our, you know, soon-to-be top producers, new guy. He's already about $5,000 for the week. He's got six tonight. He calls me up before the calls and says, hey, I'm just letting you know, man, I'm 2 hours out from my first appointment. I'll be calling you. Please be there. I love that. Prep me, man. Get me ready. I'm waiting for you. Like, he's setting up the counseling sessions. Guy's going to be a rock star. I'm not, just because that's just one of the traits. It's not like I don't think he's any better than anybody else. He's hungry, and he can't afford to lose. Okay, so massive action, constant correction, counsel all the time, more market recruiting. Another part of this on the work side, on building, is, guys, let's get better at identifying some really sharp people we know in our lives, maybe Facebook, Twitter. Let's get better at, if we really believe in this thing, we get it. Man, let's start engaging the sharp people in our lives and say, hey, I mean, you gotta take a look at this. I can't guarantee they'll hire you, but man, you gotta take a look at this. Here's an overview. I mean, I just think we gotta get more fanatical about on the work side.
Yep.
About the warm market. You guys have any other comments on cornerstone number two before we go on? I know we're running behind.
You're killing it, man. Keep it up, buddy.
All right, commitment number three: commitment to ongoing self improvement. Just talked about earlier. You're gonna what's the saying that the path to success leads through the dump? Like, just don't get out.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, like just don't. Okay, so you don't stop in the dump. You want to hit the gas when you see the dump, go through the dump. So, the ongoing self improvement is like, if you're going to quit, like if you're not preparing yourself for the fight, it's like being in shape to run the marathon. You got to get in shape. If you're not in shape, you're going to be passed out. You see these people, they just they pass out, they faint, they can't control bodily functions. It gets nasty. Like, are you going to be like that mentally as you go through the fight, or are you going to be prepared? And that's the ongoing self-improvement, is just getting yourself in shape, okay, to win and to be a champion at this game. And you got to go through the whole race. Again, this is a get-rich-short, not a get-rich-quick. And the test, guys, the test is the struggle. That separates the players from the pretenders, is a struggle. It is not nearly that much of a struggle in selling, but getting free and being able to go away on six conferences a year, or six paid vacations a year, and have your income not skip a beat, that not many people, like, I don't know if you were to poll like 100 people on the street or at the mall, I mean, how many of them, Brandon, if you ask them, say, I mean, can you be away for like 2 months out of the year on all expense paid trips and have your income not skip a beat and still keep your job? I got to think it's none. I got to think you have none, to go sample, yep, size of 1,000 maybe, or 2. Like, how big does that sample size have to be? Like, does it have to be 10,000 to find one? Or, it's rare. It's a rare opportunity, guys, and you have to be a rare person. And here's the cool thing about being a rare person. It's not like you have to do it. It's simple stuff to become. It's just that most people don't do it, and it's all about self-development, self-improvement, and it starts with reading, associating with people that through books that are winning, that have gone through the struggle. They're telling you their story, and they're writing about the victory. Like, that's good stuff to study. You want to study the stories, and it's all pretty much the same story. Struggle, 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 struggle. Victory, victory, struggle, struggle, victory, and then victory. A lot more victories than struggles. Okay, so it's always that equation of you want to be on the plus side of the victories, but you're going to be on the plus side of struggles early, and you've got to get through all that, okay, to be on the other side, which is freedom. Be able to make multiple six figures, seven figures, and not have to go hustle for it. It's all of our dream. It's the dream, but you have to kind of go through some of the nightmare to get to the dream. Okay, and you've got to equip yourself mentally to pull it off. So being a student for yourself, being a student of SFG, I mean, I love what you guys. Gene has done just an awesome job with the website. There's so much great content. I love the the phases of training.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I just I love it. I mean, it's an awesome site. Like, if you're not there every day, just like studying it and then starting back from certain parts and you're not killing. Obviously, we've got to do a lot better annuities. It's not that hard to do a lot better because we're doing pretty poorly now. So, like, if you're not in the annuity section, like I was doing a call with we had an annuity client on the hook, and just I've been studying, so I knew exactly what to kind of help guide. Like, if you're not studying this stuff, I mean, what are you fighting for? So be a great student. And I thought Edward Pritchard did an awesome job on Monday just talking about take ownership of your business and do stuff on your own without – we'll do our best as your mentor to kind of tell you, hey, here's the expectation. Do this, do this, do that. You want to be doing this. But we can't – we've got a lot going on. We might miss a couple things. Take it upon yourself to do over and above and say, hey, man, I spent about 2 hours last night. Instead of watching TV, I spent from 10 to midnight on the website. And, man, let me tell you what I learned. Casey, would that fire you up if one of your new people came back and said, Casey, I was on that website for 2 hours last night, and here's what I came away with?
It would, man. It really would, because that's how I came up in the business, and that's how you came up in the business, how Brandon came, that's how all of our great producers come up in the business, is they really invest time into that, any tool they can to give themselves. We said there's no shortcuts, but there kind of is. If you're doing that stuff, you should be doing it anyway. So we can't necessarily call it a shortcut. You should be doing it. But you know, when I jump in the car, you know, Ed, Brandon, we've all rode together before, some travels, and I think one of the last times I was in the car with you, Ed, right when I jumped in the car, you had something playing. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't the radio. It wasn't some news radio or something like that, that was just filling you with negativity. I think it was Jim Rohn or something like that. But it was, you know, and that's the way my car sounds. I got tons of MP3s and CDs and stuff that I can just pull from. So, you know, it would excite me because I know that that's what we do, and you know, we're happy with the result we're getting, and I just want everybody to get to that point, because, man, we spend a lot of time doing stuff that doesn't give us the result we want. If we just kind of shifted some of that. and did some of the things you're talking about, Ed, you get a lot better result.
I can't. We could sit here, and we won't go too much longer, but we could sit here for like, I feel, for like we could do a whole 3-day seminar on just the, or 4 days, 1 day to each one, and
yep.
not run out of material because it's so important. So guys, when you go to the website, you print this stuff off, bring it to, use it as like a guide in your life. Like, I want to get better at part 3, subsection B, and just I and subsection I and double I, like. Just become like an amazing student of this, of these four cornerstones, and each one is so important. Plug into everything, conference calls, obviously priority over any recruiting or selling activity. Really priority over everything, unless you're obviously dead, then that would be a priority. But unless you're not dead, like that's everything. Like,
exactly.
And some of us, we come up with really creative excuses, and I know it's – I wish we put that much creativity into our – book selection or not, but like we were that kind of, we put that much thought into the books that we were reading while we were reading them,
mm-hmm.
that we do some of our excuses, because I get some really good ones, like Crazy Spider Bites, and you know, she's vomiting for 3 months, and I'm like, you're so young, I mean, how, why, you seem so healthy and fit, and I just, I'm
yep.
perplexed, and there's a
I've
lot.
I've heard them too, buddy.
I say, poor little man, I feel bad, I don't want to blow you out and call you a liar, because that's offensive. But man,
yep.
come on, stop. Maybe stop. Stop that nonsense and let's
change. Yep.
Let's change. Change quickly. Change quickly. Ask the right questions. What do I do next? You know, the quality of our life is determined by the questions we ask. What do I got to change about me? Take 100% responsibility for your life. Not 90. Like, that means you can't ever blame. You can't condemn. You can't complain. It's very empowering. But it also changes a lot for you, because we are so conditioned as a culture, as a whole, you know, society, to it's everybody else's fault but ours. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the weather, it's the economy, it's your family. I mean, you just, poor you, your family, it was your daddy's fault, your mama's fault, your boss's fault. It's your, man, how about none of that? How about saying, no, man, it's my fault. Everything good, everything bad is because of me and my choices and my actions. Nothing else. It's freedom. It's freedom. It's freedom. I mean, this whole blaming,
yep.
condemn, that's keeping you in your box. And maybe that's what you need for everything in your life to be different, is if you stop blaming others, look in the mirror and say, hey, it's all about me and the changes I got to make.
Right.
Number four.
I love that one. Before you go ahead, I love that one. Take 100% responsibility for your life. It's like the people that have grown the most with us, it's one of the most challenging things to do, but it's also, as you said, one of the most rewarding things to do, and it is freedom. I think what we love about this business is that it is up to us, right? It is everything, good or bad, is my responsibility. I have the potential to make it good or to make it bad, the risk to make it bad, right? I don't think you can ask for anything else in a business to have it be on you as much as it is here, right? Because if your success is based on external forces, that's got to be one of the worst feelings ever.
Yep.
And think about all the mortgage brokers that had so much success, or the real estate agents that had so much success maybe it was short-lived, maybe it was 5 or 6 years, right, during the late 90s or even a little bit, in the 2000s. But what happened? External forces, things outside of their control, derailed it. And to me, you know, the people that take 100% responsibility for their business, you know, it's also the people that I see that kind of embrace the toughness that is the business, right? Because
yep.
it's the toughness, and you know, the last thing we ever want to do when we're talking to people is make it sound like it's too good to be true or too easy, right? Because there are going to be tough days. It's going to be some tough parts of the business, but that's what weeds it down, and that's what makes there be, that's what allows there to be so much money and so much gain for other people, the people that can fight through those just minor things that may seem tough, like you get beat up on the phone, or you get beat up in the field, or you get beat up by a recruit that leaves you, or whatever the case may be. And just embrace the toughness and realize that if it wasn't tough, we'd all be making about $6 an hour doing it. We wouldn't any of us be here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So take 100% of the responsibility, embrace the toughness, and move forward. Just be tough. Have a thick skin.
Yeah, like, what can I do if I'm blaming others, if it's everybody else's fault, then what can I do to get my life better? And the answer is nothing, but if I take 100% responsibility, what can I do in everything?
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to ask yourself, if it's everybody else's fault, then I just might as well sit here and cry about it. I'm a mortgage broker. I might wait till the mortgage market comes back and cry. And what did I just see on the MSN that said more adults moving back into the nest, back in with their mommies and daddies? Like, really? Like, how about instead of moving back in your mommy, and they say, I looked at it, I'm like, man, it's got to be like, Casey, how do they justify that? Like, not my fault, man. Not my fault. It's this economy. Just I couldn't hang on anymore. It's not my fault.
Yeah, blaming the economy.
How about doing something different? How about when we call you from CareerBuilder, you stop holding on to the way it was, and you say, I'll listen, get out of my own way. I'm sharp, and I'm willing to change, and I'll have an open mind. And how about that instead of, nah, man, I'd rather live my mommy.
You know, Ed, I was always the type of person, the people that I were always looking for were this way, is if I could see somebody that was doing it and that was having success at it, man, I knew I was going to be able to do it. I knew I'd be able to kill it because there's nothing anybody else out there can do that I can't do. I'm not going to be outworked, right? And so you're exactly right. How many people do you talk to that just, things just got flipped upside down on me. The real estate market or this market or that market. Whatever. Let's take responsibility
of the wall. That damn
work
wall.
Out,
that damn
work
wall.
It. Get the damn wall out of the way. Either climb over it or run through it. But good Lord, move forward one way or another. Get me fired up talking about that one.
Yeah, man. I want to go on number four. Associate with the right people. It's a lot of, like, we'd all rather be with our families, right? I'm sure you'd rather be Brandon playing with your two kids and your wife and up in the mountains up there than be on the road, you know, 18 times in a month. But we do it. We're doing this crazy schedule for the next two months to make it easier for you guys to associate with those that are getting the results you want to get. And we're doing it because we know the importance, and I hope you guys really understand the importance, is that we all kind of, and we know where we want to be, but I've developed to where, the point I am, by, not because of me, I mean, that whole self-made man stuff is such garbage. It's because I've had some amazing people I've crossed paths with in my life that have challenged me, and just the association with people that are in a much bigger spot in life than I am, from a career standpoint, I'm like, it's just kind of listening to them, following them, and associating around and talking with them. It's the 3 a.m. talks. Like, it wasn't always easy to associate. And in foresight, I didn't like, because it was a pain in the butt. But, like, it was always like, well, you really want the good stuff from me. You meet me at 3 a.m., we'll grab some, you know, glass of wine. I'm like, oh, man, I'm tired, because I like some sleep. I'm like, oh, really? But it was that stuff that I just really appreciate because you sacrifice for it. Like, guys, get around people that are way further along in this model than you are, okay? And hang around them and chat with them and listen to the way they're talking and the way you're talking and thinking and their thoughts and close the gap. Like, there's going to be an anomaly. Like, if you're saying one thing, they're saying another thing. Just be quiet and listen and say, okay, what he's saying, what she's saying is different than I'm thinking, but I want their results, so I should think that way. Right? I mean, it's you gotta develop relationships with people who are where you want to be. And here's the cool thing is that, like we talked about earlier, like the website. If you're brand new and you want to get in, like, the inner circle quickly with your mentor, just do something crazy, like spend 3-4 hours you're hired and just kind of come in and say, man, I went through all this and this and this. And instantly we're like, wow, I'm going to give you more time and I'll help close the gap. And add value to them. You know, you could be an elevator going up or an elevator going down. And we talk all the time about high speed, low drag. And we also said on the builder's call, right? Like, if we don't have to start, we're not going to hire you, bring you aboard based on friendship. Like, we're not, that's secondary. You being a fit, us being, you know, a fit for where you want to go, like, that's primary. But it hopefully develops into a friendship, right? But here's the thing is, like, we'll bring you aboard and you could do good for yourself, make some money and add some value from a results standpoint, okay? But we're not, if we don't like you, just common sense, we're not going to hang around, even though you might want to grow and all that. But if we don't like you, you're just not a fun person. We just don't like you. If we don't like you, we're not going to want to hang around you and you won't be able to associate. So put yourself in a position to be liked. I mean, there's a book on, like, how to win friends and influence people. Mm-hmm. Like start with that one. Like become get really good at being likable, and obviously it'll help you. Obviously, here's the thing though: is you have to be likable to make it here, because you're either closing people in the field or you're attracting people in the. Either way, you gotta have some attributes where people like you, or you won't last more than a week. So, you are likable. I just think that it's the ego getting in the way. So if you're so likable with the clients and you do everything to make them feel good, you compliment them, you listen intently, you focus, you don't look at your phone while you're talking, all that stuff. How come when you're dealing with your mentor, it's different? And the only reason it's because ego, because you think you've got more to get from the client than you do from your mentor. And here's what the winners understand, or the free bill. They understand the most important people in my life are Brandon and Casey, not my clients, not my downline. Because my clients, yep. My downline, I can replace. I'm not trying to de-edify them, but if I had a pick, I'd pick you guys, Brandon and Casey, over my downline. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because I can always build. It's not a big deal. I could build a, $50,000 a month agency in 90 days. Not a week agency. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Again, everybody I've got, I'm grateful for them and all that. It's just like if I had to choose, I would choose upline versus downline. I just think that people that aren't growing, they're choosing the superficial, the quick buck, the client, or that new over their upline, and their upline is their lifeline, not their downline or the client. Okay, the downline will leave you in a second. The client will cancel on you in a second, right? Will they not?
Mm-hmm.
How many top clients have quit on you? They quit, the top client. How many top producer? Yeah, I get offered at least $2 the last man there. About 10 minutes closer to my house, so I appreciate all you've done for me, man. It's not personal. I just got to take care of my family. Yeah, I got you, Bob. I got you. But why? You know, it's like you guys are upline is the lifeline, not downline. So if you don't have that spirit, you're never going to get beyond just being a money chaser.
And it is. It's so amazing because we're talking about kind of what a winning culture looks like, and we just got done talking about taking responsibility, especially for like the bad things and the things that that where you're at and the things that you don't like. The winners in our group and the winners in business, successful people, period, they take responsibility, whether it's good or bad. But when it's good, for like the good things that are happening, they edify, they always give credit away. So they take 100% responsibility for the bad, but they give 100% of the credit for the good to someone else. They don't say, like when you see somebody interviewed in like a sports team after a Super Bowl or something like that, like they don't interview the quarterback and he goes, man, my arm's awesome and I was just, I was on my game today and if it wasn't for me, the Super Bowl, we wouldn't have won. It's always giving credit to the coach, to the team, to the franchise, whatever it is, but they're always giving that credit away. And to me, that again, you talk about being likable and being attractive. When I hear people with our company get on stage or when they're interviewed or when they're talking on conference calls and they just pay it forward, there's nothing more attractive than that. That's such an attractive quality. Nobody wants to be around a blowhard. It's all about them, and this is what I've done. Check me out. It's just, and that's such an attractive thing. And if we could just get everybody on that same page, man, it just makes the company so much more attractive, and it creates people like the best leaders are the best followers. And that when you hear people edifying up like you're talking about, Ed, it creates more of that. And we all just tuck in, we listen, and it's a really cool thing that happens. And that's what a winning culture looks like to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. I mean, it's all about, it really is. It's understanding that without your upline, you wouldn't be anywhere. They found you, and they put you in business, and like now you're acting like it's because of you. If they would have never put that ad on Craigslist or called you from CareerBuilder or spoken to somebody who knew somebody, you wouldn't have been born. It's kind of like de-edifying your parents. Okay, well, if it wasn't for them, how would it work it out for you? Like, just think about it. Like, they are your lifeline. This your upline is your lifeline, and you can't ever forget that. And now, there's an upline, there's a growing upline. Just want to be clear on that. There's a person who hired you, and there's like your biological, and then there's your real daddy. And sometimes they're not the same, and that's okay, because here's the cool thing about our. Like we're like more of a team than a family, let's say, like a winning team. But like let's say your great granddaddy is looking down, and the biological, your daddy's just he's not doing these four things, and because you have to be a core player to do these four things. But he wants to have kids, but he's not doing these four things. He's not doing the four cornerstones, and he's just screwing up this one and that one. We're going to reach around and say, okay, your daddy's working on himself right now. He's got a little problem. He's not on the four cornerstones. He's trying to work on himself right now. He's in rehab. So I'm going to grab you here. I'm going to adopt you. You're still in that family. I'm still your great-great-granddaddy, but come with me because I want you to make it. Like, if that's happening to you, be grateful. And that is your upline for counseling. It's not your biological upline. Okay, it's just your growing upline that cares enough about you to help get that person out of your way. Not take them out of the hierarchy, but get them out of your way so you could grow. Yeah. Because they can't teach you what they don't believe and know, and it's not fair to you to have them raise you. So we'll raise you. They're your biological, but we'll raise you. That means we think enough about you where you can kind of rise up out of that mess.
It's okay? Amazing what that'll do for the dad, too.
Heck yeah, man.
I love the way you're explaining it because we've done that before, and, you know, the saying is a rising tide raises all ships. It's amazing how when you can, no matter what position you're at in the company, if you'll follow what we're saying, like you end up growing from it, but you grow everybody around you, including sometimes your biological dad, you know, the person that brought you in the business that maybe was trying to work at you, like you grow that person. I've seen that so many times, but, you know, it takes somebody being...
And he comes back and says, look at my boys. Oh, my
exactly.
God.
Love that.
What an amazing family. Like, how can it hurt them versus neglecting them? And it's so when I say upline, really be careful of, it's not necessarily the person who hired you. It's the person coaching you that is doing all the right things. Because we're not going to let you. We'll do our best. We might miss one or two, but we'll try not to. We're going to do our best to make sure that you're not being raised by somebody who isn't following the four cornerstones. Okay.
Yep.
Positivity, you got to be positive. So even if there's something not going your way, communicate with that kind of open, accountable spirit. Like, you know, what do I got to do to correct this, or how do I get over this? And be careful with your attitude because people are jealous out there. I mean, the most important people in every person's life is themselves, and they get threatened when they, like, here's the problem is being an excuse remover or an excuse violator is going to turn off the excuse makers. Like, So there's one person. So your brother's saying, "It's the economy. It's tough out there. It's our family," and then you're saying, and you're killing it. How is he going to justify that? Okay, without trying to de-edify what you're doing and who you are and all that. So be careful of all that. And I don't get it because if you love somebody, let's say family, why would you want to de-edify and kill somebody's dream? There's only one reason. It's because you're jealous and it's not even jealous, but like. They're removing you. So if they're doing well, what's your excuse, and what does that do to your ego? Mm-hmm. So make sure you're protecting your attitude, and you're only listening to your people that are counseling. You're only listening to people that are getting the results that you want to get, not the ones that aren't. So be careful with what you know, what you listen to, like the news and all that. It's all garbage. It's like, are they getting the result I want to get? No, I want to listen to people that are in the business I'm getting and getting the result. They will keep your head right. To help you keep your head right. And then understand the cross-line communication. Again, man, we can go on for hours on this. Guys, your cross-line is not your lifeline. Your upline is. Okay, your cross-line has no financial interest or connection to you. So what does cross-line be like? Like John Woodbury and myself. That wouldn't be a good, because I'm in the sales director role, so it wouldn't be a good, like Andy Fisher and John Woodbury, right? Let's just yep. So there's a cross-line. They're two agency managers, two agency leaders. Now, there could, obviously we have fun together. It's superficial, but John should not go to Andy, and Andy shouldn't go to John for what's my strategy, how many leads should I get, where should I focus on. That's not John's role in Andy's life, and Andy shouldn't. And just I'm using these as agency leaders. They would never do it, but be real careful that you're in an office and you've got cross-line teammates. Don't go to them for anything more than hey, what's up, how you doing. Kind of stuff. Don't go to them for counsel. Man, can I ride with you? Can I get none of that? Because they have no vested interest in you. They don't know your. They don't know your situation. So you might. A lot of times we have an excuse, and we think that, and we don't want to take the counsel of our upline who's been telling us the same thing. That's our problem. We want to try to find some exotic answer cross line, instead of just taking the advice upline, saying like you got to make more dials. You're thinking, no, it's I'm making enough dials, man. What are you doing there, Charles? How can I ride and see what you're doing, man? It's like you seem to book more than me, and like no. Listen upline, take the upline's counsel. No cross line coaching, just superficial, because you can also can kill you because cross line goes bad.
Yep.
Let's say that cross line person goes bad, and you're connected with them. You're going to go down with them. You're going to chase cross line. So be really, really careful.
And a lot of times, and you'll hear this, and I've had people call me like this before that were considered cross, that weren't in my agency, that were considered, you know, sidelined to me, that would call me and start hoping that I was kind of struggling like they were. And what they were trying to do was that again, because if they talk to their growing manager, they talk to their mentor. The mentor, you know, I don't like the answer I'm getting from him, so I'm going to call somebody else, and hopefully they'll jump on this pity train with me, and we can start just kind of being negative together because it feels good. Because if I can just find somebody else that's struggling, then I feel better about myself, and that's what that person's doing. And I cut them off because you're stealing from me right now. Like you're physically taking money from my bank account, and that's really what it is. Because when you start affecting my mindset, like everything's all good with me because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be. You start trying to like become a cancer in my head and start trying to pull me down and drag me down. And like you said earlier, you either build people up or you pull them down. And we'll cut that out because to us that is stealing. It's not like stealing; it is stealing. When you take away from somebody's thought, like positive thinking, and you pull from that, then that's stealing.
And you know their motive is all about their own side. It's
yep.
They have nothing to lose by killing you. You're not tied to them.
No.
Your upline is everything to gain when you win. Why would you ever listen to crossline? Why would you ever? You don't know anything about the dynamic. Like it's, guys, you gotta get this. This is not some casual social club where we're all this. No. This is. We're like in a league, and we're business teams. And you listen to your upline, upline. You're growing upline. You don't none of this, you know, cross line nonsense. It's not. And like you said, if we catch it, we'll eradicate it. Because again,
yep.
Production to us is number six on the list of credible assets. It's like it's number six. We measure it. It's like the sixth metric, being one
yep.
through six in priority. So. You can be a top producer. If you're doing any damage whatsoever, we smell anything funny, we'll carve you out so quick.
Cut it out.
And there's a ton of losing teams out there that are gladly take your volume and your crappy attitude. Gladly.
We'll
need it. We don't need it. They need it. They got no system. They need it. They need a, oh, my gosh, they'll try to, oh, go. We'll gladly give you the cancer to them and infect them.
Production's number one in their world.
Yeah, production. How's that working out? Production's number one. Yeah, that's why they're not growing. That's the quickest way to start losing is think production is number one. Start going backwards. Start shrinking. But, man, these things, again, I think we do the whole spring forwards on. I mean, this is
No, I agree with you, man. It is. It is the most important stuff. And, you know, this call, we titled the call, you know, how to set up your winning culture. Like, how do you kind of take what the company's got, this kind of this cool atmosphere and this environment, and set it up on your own? Because that's really what we want everybody to get to the point of doing. And, you know, if we took a poll on the call right now, you know, 98% of you want to build and want to have this. And so, you know, it's important to talk about it, but understand, because some of you guys are going, man, if I just had 10 people, if my guys would just do these things, or if I had 100 people, and by the way, if you had 100 people that did all four of these things and did them consistently and were just kind of a perfect, like a picture of what we want the cornerstones to look like, Ed, you'd be way larger than SFG as a whole right now. If you had 100 people doing these four things, I promise you'd be way larger than SFG. But in order to get people that do these things, you have to be that person. Again, you don't get what you want. Like, I want a bunch of people. You get who you are. And so first things first is to become, like, be a model for people to follow and do these four things. These things are not just for... This is what we teach our guys when we bring them in. This is what we all do. This is how we lead from the front. And we do all these things not artificially, but we just are these things as a company, and we'll attract people that will do these things.
Absolutely.
And things get really fun when you get a bunch of guys on board that are following these four things. We don't have that many right now as a company. In fact, we went over today on this conference call, guys, by 30 minutes. We're usually wrapped up in an hour on this conference. We went over by 30 minutes, and I love that because that's where the good stuff is, and I wish we could check attendance. We need to start going. Anytime we go over on a conference call, Brent, we need to check attendance at right at 2 o'clock. I wish we could figure out who's on. Like, I think we can because I like to see who all jumped off early because we went a minute over. You know, like we try to stick to the schedule, but who's stuck on? Who's stuck on for this? Because to me, this is the most important stuff in our business. I know it is, but like that tells me who the core players are, who really. And again, if you just had 50 of them on your team that would do these four things and just kind of be core like team players that cover the cornerstones like this, man, you'd be way larger than the company right now. But you got to be those things. Good stuff, Ed. Man, I agree with you. We need to hit these four things in these spring forward meetings. And like you said, I think we could spend a day on each cornerstone. But that is going to, you know, that's a platform for the company, and that's what we all need to get used to talking about, teaching on, and making sure that we're all growing in these four things, and we're kind of grading ourselves and making sure we're getting closer and closer to like closing the gap like you're talking about. Appreciate you being on, Ed.